This week marks 25 years since the massacre at Tiananmen Square in Beijing. In 1989, Chinese security forces conducted a widespread crackdown on pro-democracy protesters that left hundreds, some say thousands, dead. But months before the standoff, protesters saw no sign of coming violence.
1989 may have started from a few campuses and was student-led, but eventually spread so widely in the whole country that it becomes over 400 cities with prolonged demonstration of somewhere between 100 to 150 million people on the street. Even government departments and the military units, police academy, were on the street in support. It was more a festival and a carnival. It wasn't an angry protest.
That was the voice of Sheng Tong. He was a 20-year-old biology student at Beijing University in the spring of 1989. He never considered himself political, but he and his classmates were lobbying the government to change some of its policies on scientific research. They eventually joined with the nonviolent demonstrations that were centered in Tiananmen Square. Sheng Tong says he expected pushback from the government, but he never could have imagined the massacre that would unfold on those first few days of June, 25 years ago. Tiananmen Square survivor Sheng Tong is our Sunday conversation.
I had no clue. I mean, I expected inevitable crackdown, but not to this extent. And also, with the hindsight, we know what's really going on inside the government. Even the government data shows that more than half of the military, of the ministries within the government, of course, in support of the students and the street protest. And it's really just a smaller part of the government and party that usurped the power. And the use of force, even though it's widely reported, I mean, there's still facts coming out that the kind of violence, such as running over students from behind, those kind of things clearly were planned beforehand and meant to really shock, not just to pacify the protest.
What did you and the other people in your movement, what did you realistically think you could achieve? What were you hoping would happen as a result of these protests?
We were hoping for gradual reform, and we're focusing on freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, and freedom of travel, and freedom of press. Never for a moment the main body of the student protest thought we were against the government or asking for a regime change. We really consider ourselves patriots, and we think we could help the government to reform further. I mean, how naive we were, but that's what we were thinking.
Hmm. Where were you when the massacre started to happen?
Incidentally, I was with my mother because some family friends, they told me a secret the family has been keeping from me, that my father had leukemia. That happened to be the afternoon of June 3rd. Hmm. So I rushed back to my mother's apartment, which is about a couple of miles west of Tiananmen. And that night of the massacre, morning of June 4th, most of killings took place on the western part. So even though I wasn't in the square, I happened to witness killings, probably about at least a dozen.
After those days, June 3rd, 4th, when the massacre in Tiananmen happened, police hunted down the leaders of the movement, and your name was on those lists. How did you manage to get out of the country at that point?
Most of my colleagues, the other key activists, actually escaped through southern China, and I stayed. So I ended up 7 days after the massacre. I walked through the airport of Beijing, boarded a Chinese plane, and went to New York. So meanwhile, there are two groups of people. One went to my dorm in Beijing University, and the other went to my mother's apartment on the same day, around the time I was at the airport, to capture me.
And you went to the United States and sought asylum, or you already had a visa secured? How did you get in?
That's another bizarre thing, that I was, because in 1988, I applied to transfer to come to the United States, to Brandeis University, actually, to continue my study of biology. And by the spring of 89, I actually got admitted to six universities here, and I just didn't feel like, and I didn't have time to do anything about it. So it was my family who got my passport, and after U.S. Embassy shut down a day after the massacre, there's just another, it turns out eventually I find a Brazilian businessman who was visiting Beijing, took my passport from the rescue group, went to the U.S. embassy and got me a visa, and somehow that passport then find their way back to me, and that's how I left.
Hmm. When you look back on Tiananmen Square, how do you see its legacy? How did it change China? Did it?
25 years ago, we had this amazing opportunity, not just for China, but also for the rest of the world. that we could have had a more balanced development. We could have a much more peaceful, negotiated way of moving forward. And but the inconvenient truth is China has this amazing moment to move forward in a balanced way, and it lost that opportunity. Instead, it has this monster of a combination of a extreme police state with extreme form of early capitalism. When we're making a few more dollars, our environment, our children's future, and our individual dignity and human rights has to be suffered. There's no reason for that.
Sheng Tong, he is an entrepreneur, and he was a student leader during the protests in Tiananmen Square, which took place 25 years ago. Thank you so much for talking with us, Sheng Tong.
Thank you, Rachel.